So I'm here with Professor Mihai Nadine at the University of Texas at Dallas, where he is the director of the Anticipation Lab. Am I correct?
It's as good as it can be.
So my question for you, Professor, is what do you feel about the gut feeling? Or when you hear the word gut feeling, what comes to your mind?
We operate most of the time on gut feeling. The illusion is that, you know, we are trained to do this or that successfully, but even in what we are trained to do, there are moments when the training and the reality of what we want to do are different. And at that time, what informs our decisions? The gut feeling. What is the gut feeling, also known under the name of intuition? Because that's what gut feeling is. It is a perception not mediated through sensorial information. In other words, it is a very direct action that takes place, so to say, on a dime. When you don't have a long time to start judging, what's the right way? Do I want to go left? Do I want to go right? Do I want to stop? But rather, you are guided by a process of which you are not in total control on a mental cognitive level, but rather your entire body is in control, because in reality your entire body is continuously in a state of seeking the next action. That's the beauty of this notion of gut feeling, and that's also the reason why I think that your take on associating gut feeling and anticipation is right, because anticipation is itself an autonomic function. You cannot press a button in order to do the right thing at a moment when you have an earthquake, when some catastrophe is happening, or when you meet a person and you fall in love. It's not a matter, I press the button, I'm going to fall in love, that's anticipation, we are going to be happy. We might or we might not be happy. Gut feeling is not a guarantee for the right action. Gut feeling can get you in huge trouble. Gut feeling is non-deterministic. Machines don't have gut feeling. Institutions don't have gut feeling. Education, unfortunately, is doing its best to kill the gut feeling in us.
So you're saying that at this point right now, machines don't have a gut feeling?
I'm saying that machines will never have a gut feeling. I'm saying that no matter how many artificial intelligence devices we're going to invent, and I happen to be the most optimistic person in the world, there is a lot that is going to happen. It will not have gut feeling. I always insist on this distinction between the living and the non-living. Gut feeling is possible where there is a gut, and that gut you find in a monocell, because the monocell has to have metabolism, take something in and has to push something out,
right?
The gut feeling, yeah? Or it happens at the next level of life, and you see that gut feeling, for instance, is telling us today that what we have in our guts, the biome, mm-hmm. is, boy, defining some of our choices more than we're aware of. For instance, the biome mm-hmm. is very present when you fall for a color, you fall for a scent, you fall for a texture. When I say you fall, you go for it, you select it, you choose it. But I prefer the fall, it's a little more natural. The biome is there. We never thought about the fact that this thing in the gut is actually very present in things that have very little to do with the gut. For instance, it is there in the process in which I'm changing the position of my hand, which is not a mechanical thing. In a machine, I have to program it.
Right.
Here, I don't have to program it. So I'm radical in this respect, saying no, there is never going to be gut feeling in the non-living, no matter how far we will go in making this non-living, the robots and you name it, I don't care. It's fine, they will be able to do everything you can imagine, but not gut feeling.
And what do you think is the relation between gut feeling and memory? Does memory play an important role in gut feeling?
You are using one word, memory, for describing something that has many realities. There is explicit memory. I remember your name, Kaikini, yeah? There is another level in which my memory is not explicit but implicit. I don't remember your name, but I will still shake your hand because I kind of know who you are. I might have seen you before. And then there are many other levels that go lower and lower and lower and lower to the level at which each cell in our body is endowed with memory. And that cell does not always send it from here, from the cell to the brain. No, it works here at this level. So you take your finger away before the brain even knows that you're going to take your finger away.
Right.
So when you say memory, yes. We are made out of matter, which is physics and chemistry, but that matter is now alive. One characteristic of matter that is alive is that it remembers. The electrons in this table, in this building, in this material, don't remember. They do not have a sense of time. Memory is one form in which our sense of time is expressed.
Do you think when we have, do you think there's a difference between when we're making a decision that's, you know, when they say like think from your head versus follow your heart versus the gut feeling? Do you think those three things are different?
They are different, but usually they are never distinct in what we do. There's a mixture, and sometimes one dominates over the other, but they are already in that soup. Everything is there, the gut feeling and act on judgment and act by instructions, because we live in a regulated world. So it's not only my head tells me that it's okay to do something. There is a rule that says don't do this or that. So it's already bringing another level into considering the various instances in which the heart, the whatever else, the gut are participating together. And sometimes one dominates over the other. The gut feeling usually overrides your rationality. Boy, I should have known better.
Yeah.
We all say it every now and then. Why? We followed whatever instinctively we feel like it can be right. And then, boy, I knew, my heart told me it's the right thing. Or you follow it, and boy, is it a mess, and then you say to yourself, I should have.
Yeah.
So you are reassigning weights to how much heart, how much of your head, how much of the regulations, etc., should be part of your decision.
I think that human beings are irrational decision makers, for sure. And I feel that we need gut feeling in order to be able to make a decision. Because I think if we're constantly rationalizing, when will we know that, okay, this is the decision that I'm going to make? Because then we'll be just kind of weighing our options for a long time, you know? So is there a way for us to train our gut feeling?
I wanted to contradict you when you said at the beginning we're irrational. And I will still do that. We're not irrational, but we're captive to forms of rationality that are sometimes inadequate. There is a rationality in understanding that if you hit me in my face, I might not be happy. Yeah?
Yeah.
Why do people hit each other? It's irrational to do it. It can only have a bad output. And
right.
Still we do it. We gamble. Why do we do it? Gut feeling should say, don't get involved in that. You're going to lose in the end. There are no winners in this thing. After contradicting you that, no, I don't think we're irrational, I rather think that we are captive to wrong forms of rationality. And unfortunately, education is one of the main culprits in this. We're teaching young people to use a rationality that is not adequate, period. Amen, there's nothing to talk about. Can we enhance, stimulate, educate, whatever you want to call it, gut feeling? If somebody tries from outside, it will never happen. If you learn to let loose, if you learn to trust yourself a little more, if you give yourself up to yourself in the sense that I'm not going to look for everything that I have to do for instructions, how do I open a book, how do I measure a cup of tea, etc., but rather go by your natural experience, by who you are, that's the way in which the gut feeling will come out more and more. So instead of forcing upon yourself rules because they come with guarantees. If you lock the door with three locks, chances are that the bandits who are trying to break in will have it tougher. And then there are stupid idiots who are locking their locks with three locks. Wait a second, the gut feeling doesn't tell you that there is no reason to lock it at all? Who will come if you have nothing in your house? What would they do? And I met so many old people, very poor, locked in, making themselves prisoners, instead of having the door open. Hey, if I am in need, and I'm going to scream, help, help, and the door is locked with three locks, who can come in? And I will not be able to unlock it myself. And we put ourselves in such situations. So, no, I don't see the possibility of training the gut. I see the possibility of getting yourself in a situation in which you trust yourself more. Yeah?
And how did this play a role in your whole experience of studies when you were adolescent, as a teenager, and you were studying maths, and then you moved?
Oh boy, that's one of the toughest questions. How does it reflect? I grew up in a society in which you have a dictatorship and everything came with the rules, and you had to learn things that nobody cared for. You really had to study things that, to the best of my knowledge, if I think back, I don't even know what they were. That's how much my being rejected them. But I had an exam, and if I didn't pass, they threw me out from the university. It was not a matter of, you know, take another class, equivalent. No, it was a course of study in which you had to do this, and example, the history of the Communist Party. Who cared about the history of the Communist Party? Who cared about communism?
Yeah?
But you had to take the exam. If you did not pass the exam, there was no step forwards, period. Your course of study was finished. At that time, you really let a lot of yourself to guide you. If I learn three pages by heart, and if I go to the exam and they ask me a question about other pages than the three, I change the subject and bring it to the three and recite the three pages. It was one of the things I did. In the end, I had no idea even what I was saying. Doesn't matter. Survival is very much gut-based. So that's one thing. On the other hand, the gut feeling brought me to really the hot things that I was interested in. So it helped me protect me, but at the same time find that little angle that the university would not give me. And that was the most amazing thing. And just to make it concrete and not keep it abstract, I got involved with the most amazing mathematicians at that time in Romania, who happened to be some of the best really in the world at that time. And in the world of mathematics, where you are at an abstract level, the party had very little thing to say. They could not read an equation. Mm-hmm. Even if you wrote an equation, how do I get rid of the government, they would look at it and have no idea what it was. But yes, I got at that time passionate about the abstract level. And since then, I preach that knowledge always starts at the abstract level. Almost nobody accepts this idea from me. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
Yeah.
At least that's how it is for me. Knowledge does not start by one and one is two. Nah.
Yeah.
No, that's not knowledge.
So what, when you say knowledge starts by abstract, could you go into details about that?
I'll give you one detail. Have you ever tried to paint?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
When you go to the canvas.
Yes.
With your brush.
Yeah.
That level at which the brush meets the canvas, what do you think it is? That's a very abstract level.
Yeah.
It's totally abstract. There is no person there. There is no flower. There is no sky. There is nothing. And from there, this abstraction becomes more and more concrete into it is a flower, it is whatever it is going to be. But it starts absolutely at the abstract level. Poetry starts at the abstract level. Poetry is not X met Y and they kissed and they have a child. That's a little narration.
Right.
Feelings are abstract feelings. Why do you love your future husband, your husband, yeah? I'm not sure that you're going to be able to tell me. If you start telling me, oh, he has nice eyes and he has nice legs and nice, then you still don't tell me why.
Right. Yeah. That was a great example, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay.
It's abstract.
Well, I think you did a really great job helping me understand gut feeling from a very different perspective.
Different, I'm sure, because if you take all the books on it, you're going to find totally other things.
Yeah, so this was beautiful. Thank you so much for your time.
Take care, be good to yourself.